Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Be seated here in the building, then I want to talk to you out of my heart, preach a little bit. But I'm pretty excited about what God is doing. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away, turning faith, have made shipwreck. You may be seated. God is good all the time. Pastor John Osteen told me when I was a very young preacher, he said there's two ways to live, off the bottom of the barrel or off the top of the barrel. Remember this, if it's a barrel's about this high. If you're going to live off the bottom of the barrel, you know what that means? You're going to be upside down the whole time. Because you've got to be reaching way down. Your feet's going to be in the air and your head's going to be on the ground. But when you live off the top of the barrel, it's just break it off. Praise God. And I want to thank all the people that help us do this online service. Thank you very much. You're so faithful. I want to thank all the people at Living Way that are praying, sending all of their communications to us in various ways. All the people that are supporting us financially. And somebody said, well, you know, are your finances up? But if they were not, I wouldn't tell you. I had a friend that had a major network. And I used to fly out there and do that all the time. And he told me, Steve, he said, there's one thing I've learned. He said, create a crisis. He said, when you create a crisis, you can generate money. About 2 years later, he was in prison. That's a real crisis. I just don't need that kind of crisis. I saw him on TV this week. And he said, if he doesn't get some money, they're going to be out of business in about 2 weeks. He's always lived talking about the bottom of the barrel. I'm just not going to live like that. Well, whatever you talk about, what comes to pass. I'm living off the top of the barrel, and so our income has been good. I won't say it's been better or as big, but it's been really good. But let me tell you about another little miracle. You've seen it on the news about the payroll protection program. And churches applied, but they just couldn't get it. I called three big banks here in San Antonio, and I called immediately when that became available. One said, we're not able, the government won't let us. Another one said, we farmed it out. They got millions of people ahead of you. And the third one said, you haven't been out long enough with us. So that's just, the Lord just opened the door for me. And I called a little bank in Oklahoma that I'd never done business with. President of the bank said, Pastor Fender, I know you. I followed your ministry. And Friday, they dropped that money in the church account. We're only one of three churches that I know that got it. What are you saying? I'm saying God always makes up the difference. God always makes up the difference. Keep your faith strong. Believe that God will find a way to get it to you. Praise God. For I am not going to fear because the Lord really is for us. The Lord is on our side. And I'm so excited. The Lord just been inspiring me with godly thoughts this week about what is about to happen. And I'm so excited about what's about to happen. And our president is wanting to open this country up. Our governor's wanting to open this state up. And your pastor's wanting to open his church up. So we're not far away from opening everything up. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he spoke to me in the Bible about Gideon and the things that was happening in his life. And he talked to me about Caleb, the things that was happening in his life. And God said, hey, this is a brand new opportunity. And 45 years ago, Becky and I came. We didn't know anybody. And we started this church. And look what the Lord has done. Thousands of people, all of the things that we've acquired. I praise God for that. The Lord said, now you did that starting from nothing. I preached a sermon. Some of you, most of you won't remember the difference about starting over and beginning again. We're not going to start over. We're going to begin again. Now, if you start over, that means you start way back where you started originally. But when you begin again, it means you start from where you are, and that's where we are. So we're going to start again, and that is we are beginning again. Not with nobody, but with thousands of people. And I prophesy, praise God, that this church is going to explode in just a few weeks. These doors are open, and we're going to begin again, and God is going to do new things. And I feel exactly like Caleb. He said, for 45 years, the exact years that Bacon and I have been here, he said, I've been doing this. But he said, now I'm 85 years old. Give me this mountain. I'm as strong as I ever was. And praise God, I want to tell you that God is getting ready to do something fantastic and new in your life. There's always comeback. There's always comeback. The Bible is a book of comeback. Noah is a story of comeback. It was all over, but Noah brought it back with just 8 souls. He brought it back. The Bible is a story of comebacks, whether you're talking about Jacob, whether you're talking about David, whether you're talking about Samson, whether you're talking about Peter in the New Testament. It is a book of comebacks, and the church of the living God is going to come back stronger than it has ever been in the history of mankind. In fact, the Bible is a story about the whole human family coming back. And so the church of the living God is about to roar back bigger than she has ever been. The text that I've selected today, holding faith and a good confidence and good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul was using the most disastrous illustration of his times to describe the catastrophe of people who have had a faith meltdown. He didn't say a plane wreck, a plane crash. That's what we think about. That's just a catastrophe of when a passenger plane goes down. There wasn't any planes. He couldn't talk about 9/11. That wasn't there. He wasn't talking about a nuclear meltdown. The biggest disaster that could possibly happen in the Apostle Paul's time was a shipwreck. And so he said, when somebody loses their faith, he said it's like a shipwreck. It's the greatest calamity that I could possibly think of. And then he actually calls out 2 people that had had a shipwreck, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This is the very next verse after the shipwreck. And so we assume that these 2 men and the others whom that they had led astray in verse 19, they were once devoted Christians, but something happened. Usually before you have a faith meltdown, you have a bitterness problem. And bitterness is always caused by hurt. Somehow you're slighted. Somebody does something to you. Somebody hurts your feelings. You get bitter, and then that kind of injures you. And after a while, you have a faith meltdown. I've seen it so many times in the ministry. And so these men were great men, but they became slack. They became careless. They lost out spiritually. And now the Apostle Paul actually calls them out by name and said, these 2 men have made shipwreck. And it's a terrible thing. But one thing that once their shipwreck of faith happened, all hope was not gone. Almost, but not quite. Because he includes this phrase, and I find great hope in the apostle's phrase, that they may learn. He said they've blasphemed. Blasphemy is the farthest you can go from faith. It's the opposite end of faith. Not only are you not believing, now you are vocal. Now you are anti-faith. Now you are declaring it does not work. There is no God that will help. God is against us. And so that's where they were. But the Apostle Paul said, even in this pitiful condition, he said, my prayer is that they will learn. Blasphemy, the opposite of faith, and yet he holds out faith for them that they are going to return. Perhaps the greatest personification of the faith meltdown, of the shipwreck of faith in the entire Bible, is the Apostle Peter. He's an amazing character. I identify with him. I really enjoy, probably more than anybody, the Apostle Paul's writing. But it's hard to identify with him because the guy was a flat genius. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Just an amazing guy. But Peter is a blue-collar Christian. He's somebody that we can relate to. You know, I was raised in the church, so I don't really have problems with cursing like some people do. But I've read on Facebook that some Christians, that when they get low in faith, that's one of the things they kind of go back to. And that's what happened to Peter. You can relate to this guy. Here was a guy that was in a real struggle. He wanted to love God. He wanted to serve God, but he had some real problems. And Jesus recognized that. Jesus recognized that Peter had some real faith issues. He realized there was a probability that he was going to fail in his faith, and yet Jesus never cast him away. Jesus did not come just save faith superstars. Jesus did not come just to save people that were super faith people. Jesus came to save anybody and everybody that wants to be saved. And so Jesus recognized that Peter had a real problem. And Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Jesus zeroed in on his problem, that Peter had the propensity to have real highs and real lows. I've said that Elijah was the first bipolar person in the Bible. Peter was almost there. I mean, he would get real high and real low. And Jesus recognized that. He said, Satan's really going to attack you and sift you. But he said, I'm praying in one area of your life, and that is your faith, because your faith tends to fail when you need it the most. So I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said, I'm praying that in your faith failure, you're able to retain and come back, because there are brethren that are going to be dependent upon you. Anybody, I don't care who you are, you might be the greatest televangelist, you might be a janitor in the church, it doesn't matter who you are, anybody can have a faith failure. In fact, the Bible doesn't answer it very well, but it certainly asks the question, how are the mighty fallen? And the mighty do fall. Even a disciple that Jesus is praying for had a faith failure. In fact, if you look at Peter's life, it was pretty much a series of failures. He failed in life as a fisherman, and that was his profession. He failed as a follower. He failed as a leader. He just kept failing. But faith failure need not be final. That's what the devil does. He sifts us like wheat, Jesus said. He attacks our faith. And then once we have a faith, he said, it's all over. But it ain't all over, because the Bible is a book of comebacks. And Jesus is the comeback kid. It's called the resurrection. And what he perfected, he now gives to us. But Peter rediscovered his faith. He learned how to become a success in life, to become a devoted follower, and to become a leader of leaders. All of that after he had failed miserably. Peter recovered from his faith shipwreck to become the initial spokesman and the leader and the apostle of God's church. Jesus Christ chose him, knowing that he was very susceptible to having faith failures. He still chose him to be the spokesman on the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2. You say, well, how in the world could Peter make a faith comeback like all of us? I really try to be full of faith. I try to speak faith, pray in faith, act in faith. But there are times when I recognize that Satan is sifting me. And I've realized it's not just a matter of getting faith and maintaining faith. It's making faith come back. When you realize it's gone. I was talking to a man the other day, and he was telling me about a man in Lake Charles that I know. I said, where is he now? He said, he's rich again. The reason why we said that, we know this man. He's not a preacher. He's a businessman. He has made and lost probably six or eight fortunes in his life, and I took millions of dollars. But he's back on top again. He just won't stay down. He just keeps making those fortunes. Real people of faith are not people that never ebb or never have a faith failure. They are the righteous man that falls seven times and gets back up and says, hey, I missed it there, but I'm still going to rise again, and my faith is going to return. And I want to show you how Peter was able, even though he had faith failures, to come back again from what the Apostle Paul calls a shipwreck of faith. He salvaged his faith from shipwreck based on three core revelations, and they are itemized in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus stands in front of his disciples. He's actually probing their mind and their understanding. He is deducing their sensitivity to spiritual things. They walk with him a while, and Jesus is simply saying, do you get it? Have you got it yet? Do you understand it? Because so many of his followers did not understand who Jesus was or what Jesus was doing. They had been put downtrodden so long, put down in so many ways politically. They thought he was a president. They thought he was an emperor. They thought he was going to be an earthly king. They thought he was going to be a political rebel that was going to help them come up from their political demise, and they would be important in the community again. That's what a lot of the followers of Christ thought. And so Jesus wanted to know, do you really know who I am? And so he asked his disciples. He said, who do men say that I am? So one person said, well, some think that you're John the Baptist come back. And others think you're Elijah. And some think you're Jeremiah. Many believe you're a great prophet. But all of these things are great, but they're not great compared to who Christ really was. Jeremiah was something. He wasn't Jesus. Isaiah was awesome, but he was not Jesus. John the Baptist said about himself, I'm not worthy to loose his sandals. He said that about himself. And so he said, and all the disciples got quiet. And finally, Peter said, I know who thou art. Now, this is the guy that could be high and low. This is the guy that could have a cussing fit. This is a guy that could have great faith or no faith. But he said, I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The reason why Peter was able to come back from these faith shipwrecks that he was prone to, he never, ever doubted the identity of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the greatest thing that can happen to you is when you get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You know, it's a wonderful thing to learn to pray, but if you don't know who you're praying to, your prayers are very limited. The source of your prayer and the result of your prayer is who you're praying to. I know there are people that pray to all kinds of inanimate objects. I know there are people that think there are thousands of gods, and so their prayers go astray. But when you realize who Jesus Christ is, and this little fisherman, he was not an intellect. He certainly, they said about him, said, you're ignorant and unlearned. They said about Paul, much learning has made you mad. You're a scholar. But they never accused Peter of that. They said, you're ignorant and unlearned. He didn't have a Harvard degree. He was not brilliant. He was not a genius. He was not a philosopher. He was a fisherman that struck out. He was a man that failed at almost everything he did. But somehow, he had got a revelation of who Christ was. That heartens me. That you do not have to have an high IQ. You don't have to have degrees hanging on your wall. You do not have to have gone to the best colleges in America to get a revelation that will change your life. The revelation that will change your life is that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the omnipotent God in human form. He is the Almighty. He is the beginning. He is the end. When I say Jesus, the entire Godhead comes to attention. When I say Jesus, angels salute. When I say Jesus, demons tremble and flee because they know that I know. You know, they said one time in the Bible, Jesus we know and Paul I know, but who are you? They realized that these men did not have their power connection correctly because your power connection is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So here was little Peter that had this problem of faith failing and time again being a failure. But this one thing that he retained is that Jesus Christ is the omnipotent God, and I know him personally. Ladies and gentlemen, things do not always go my way. But when they don't go my way, I have an appeal court. I have an appellate situation. I can appeal to Jesus Christ. And he is the Alpha, the Omega, the author. He can change things. And I can tell you that when I was dealing with trying to get this little deal, and I was last on the list, every preacher I knew had already got with their banks, and they, but I couldn't do it because of the bank situation here in San Antonio. I was the last. I've called all of those that were ahead of me and said, hey, did you get your money? They said, not yet. I called one that was way ahead of me, and he said, they say we're going to get it in 10 days. I said, they put hours in account Friday. You know why that was? Not because I'm the smartest preacher in San Antonio. You know, Pastor Brandon marveled at one of my decisions I made 20 years ago concerning his church. And the truth was, friend, it was just a fleeting idea that hit my brain in the middle of a negotiation. I'm not the smartest preacher that ever lived, but I'll tell you this. My faith might waver sometimes, but I know one thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my waymaker. I don't like being quarantined. I don't like the fact that people are sick and some have died. I don't like the fact that our economy has taken a major hit. But praise God, I am not tied to the economy of America. I am tied to Jesus Christ, the beginning and the ending, and He always finds a way. I've had preachers say, how come everything always turns out for you? Because I do not boast in my flesh. I don't lean on my own understanding. I don't think I can figure it out. I believe that Jesus Christ is the waymaker, and I have a real kinship to the disciple Peter. I understand that sometimes my faith is not as strong as I would like for it to be, but I can tell you this, I always return to this one truth, and that is that Jesus Christ is the revelation of Almighty God, and He paid the price, and He has all power, and He's on my side. And let me tell you something else. One thing, this whole litany of Peter's failures and Christ dealing with him, you know one thing I really like about it? It proves that Jesus don't hold a grudge. You know, some of you have really done Jesus bad. You know, there's songs of talking about that. I listened to it this day, this week. There's a song on the radio, and he was talking about, what have I ever done? And what he's saying is, I did you bad, Jesus, but you've always done me good, because Jesus never holds a grudge. And some of you are saying, well, I deserve this. You know, that's one thing the devil really wants you to zero in on. Every time you have a trial, we hook it up to one of your failures and say, oh, I deserve this. That's the thought pattern the devil wants you to have. But praise God, I don't live like that. When something goes wrong in my life, I say, hey, this ain't right, because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm made perfect not by a track record, but I'm made perfect by Jesus Christ's work in my place. And so when I call on Jesus Christ, you know what I'm doing, don't you? I'm blotting out my life. And I'm saying now the life of Jesus Christ is enacted in me. And so I'm not going to get what I deserve. Dave Ramsey, you know who Dave Ramsey is? When you listen to his call-in show, what does he say? People always say, Dave, how you doing? That's the first thing everybody else says. And Dave always says, better than I deserve. Well, I might be doing better than I deserve, but I'm not doing better than Jesus deserves. And so when I call on Jesus, I'm saying this is going to happen to me, not because Steve Fender has lived an exemplary life for 50 years, but this is going to happen to me because Jesus is my Lord. He is my go-between. He is my waymaker. Peter realized what he was. Peter realized that he was not the most intellectual man to come down the pike. He recognized that he had failed as a fisherman, he had failed as a follower, he had failed as a leader, but this one thing he knew was that he loved Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ loved him. And when you get that revelation of Christ and his deity and the fact that he's on your side, even though you might have an occasional shipwreck, praise God, you're not going to perish in the sea. The Lord is going to rescue, and you might be down for a moment, but then you turn around and praise God, you're up again. And somebody said, well, how did he get up again? I thought he was down and out. Oh, you might be down, but you ain't never out, for the Lord is on your side. Number two, this is one of the core values that Peter had, even though he was prone to shipwreck faith. The Bible said, now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, this is Jesus again talking to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Why was he saying that? Because Peter had fished all night, he had failed again, and caught nothing. And Peter said, I've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now here's the key. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This was what rescued Peter time and time again from those shipwrecks of faith. It was that he had an understanding and a revelation, not only of who Christ was, but they had a revelation of the authority of Jesus' word. And when Jesus spoke, it would never return void. When Jesus said it, it was going to come to pass, not based on his ability. Peter realized he had failed as a fisherman. He realized that Jesus was not a fisherman. He was a carpenter. He was not basing it on that. He was basing it on one thing, and that is that the word of Jesus Christ is authoritative, that it always succeeds and it never fails. And because of this, Peter, in the midst of his failure, suddenly could come back to life. There's somebody watching me right now. You said, I've failed the Lord. It doesn't matter. The Lord's never failed you. The Lord doesn't hold grudges. And right there where you're watching this right now, you need to say, hey, I know who Jesus is. You know, R.W. Shambach dedicated our building next door many years ago. R.W. Shambach was a praise leader for a renowned preacher. And that renowned preacher had some real serious problems in his last day. And I'd heard a lot of rumors. And so I asked him about this preacher. I said, what about him? Did he really do all those things he said he did? And he said, oh, Pastor Steve, he said he was my friend. And he said, I've never said one negative thing about him, but he said, I will say something positive. He said he knew who God was. Friend, when you know who God is, it can cover a lot of sins and a lot of errors. It can take a lot of shipwrecks and put you back in the boat again, praise God. And when you realize that when Jesus says it, it's coming to pass. And so the Lord speaks on my behalf. The Lord speaks on my behalf. And so when I realize that the Word of God said this is going to happen, no matter what's happening on the national news, no matter what's happening on the local scene, no matter what's happening in the local church, I base my faith on the Word of God. I know who Jesus Christ is. I know that sometimes I have a shipwreck of faith, but praise God, I always come back bigger than I was because I know who Jesus is, and I trust in His Word, and I know His Word will prevail over everything, over every doubt, over every fear, over every circumstance, over every virus, over every economic downturn. God's Word will prevail. And thank God it was a core value for the Apostle Peter. It's a core value for me that the Lord is God. His name is Jesus Christ. I know Him personally. He is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He speaks up for me. And when He speaks, devils have to back off. When He speaks, demons have to turn loose. When He speaks, angels have to come. When He speaks, praise God, good things have to manifest. I have put my faith in who Christ is and the authority of His Word. And the third and last core value that Peter had that rescued him time and time again from his shipwrecks of faith. The third time, the Bible said in John 21 and 14, now, the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples, this was after His resurrection. He showed Himself to His disciples three times. When He finds Peter, what's Peter doing? He's gone back to his old way. He said, now I go fishing. And he's out there fishing, but suddenly Jesus is on the shore, and Jesus begins to talk about one thing. Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, now you know who I am. And you know the power of my word. Let's talk about one last value that rescues you from shipwreck time and time again. Lovest thou me? Let's talk about the value of love. Jesus said, cast them out because they never had a relationship. Or in other words, they were not in love with me. Peter, in all of his failure, never lost his love for Jesus Christ. And Peter knew this, that Jesus never lost his love for him. And somebody out there right now, maybe you're feeling really down. Maybe you haven't got an economic blessing. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're just questioning everything. I want to tell you this, that Jesus is Lord, that His Word is authoritative. And I want to tell you this, that Jesus Christ loves you as much today as He has ever loved you in your life. You say, well, I'm not at the top. I'm not at the pinnacle right now. I'm not showing a lot of faith. Your faith is not deciding whether God loves you or not. Jesus Christ loves you. And now what Jesus is saying to you is, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than all these circumstances, all these situations, all the things that are going on? The real question is not whether God loves us. It's whether we love him. And we might be weak, and we might fail, and we might mumble, and we might complain, but it's time to get up and declare, you know I love you. Peter got real frustrated at Jesus because he said, you know I love you. And that's the way we feel. Jesus, you ought to know that we love you. Hey, Jesus wants to hear a little noise. Jesus wants to hear a little worship. Jesus wants us to declare. Three times he went back to Peter. Peter said, you know. Oh, I know, but I want to hear it. And I'll tell you what Jesus is wanting to hear on this. I don't know how many weeks now we've been in quarantine, 4 weeks or whatever it is. Jesus is wanting to hear a little noise in your house. He's wanting to hear a little noise in your hospital room. He's wanting to hear a little noise wherever you're hearing this. He wants you to get up and declare, this one thing I know. I might not be on the top of the world. I might not have manifested much faith as I should have this last month, but this one thing I know, Jesus is Lord. The second thing I know is that his word will not return void. And the third thing is I know that God loves me with an uncompromised love. And so what I'm going to do is I am going to respond to his love. And so what the Lord is asking you to do, really it doesn't matter how you feel. The Lord is just asking you to put your hands up, put a little smile on your countenance, praise God, and say, Jesus Christ, through thick and thin, through it all, better or worse, sick or poor, I love you, Jesus. I want to sing your song. I want to speak your name. I want to glorify your person. I want to declare, praise God, I know that you will not leave us nor forsake us. I know the Bible is a book of comebacks, praise God, and I know that we're coming back, and I'm personally coming back. And here was Peter after all these failures. Where do we find him? We find him on the day of the Pentecost, and he is the chief spokesman. He's the one that guides the church through the turmoil of the day and hour. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, you might not have always been a superstar, but God is going to use you in this comeback in a way you've never been used before. And there's one thing that he's asking you today. He's not asking you about money. He's not asking you about all kinds of political things. He's asking you one thing. Do you love me? Do you love me? You've got to find a way to let Jesus Christ know. And not only that, Jesus knew that Peter loved him, but he wanted the other disciples to hear Peter say, I love you. The Lord wants you to be a witness of your love for Jesus Christ. And I want to tell the world, and I want to tell the church, and I want to tell my family, and I want to tell every devil in hell, and I want to tell every angel in heaven, I'm in love with Jesus Christ. He is the lover of my soul. He first loved me, but now I love him back. And a little quarantine is not going to take me out. A little downturn in the economy is not going to take me out. A little headache is not going to take me out. God is on the throne, and I am in his hand, praise God. And I'm worshiping him today. And my song is, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And you have been so close to me in this last month. And I'm so excited about what you and I are about to do, Jesus. What me and the family of God are about to do. What the church called Living Way is about to do. What the church universal around the world is about to do. Our best days are yet ahead of us. And I shout for glory. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me my faith meltdowns, but I want to tell you this. I still believe. I still believe, and the best is yet to come. Can you praise God right there in your home? Somebody needs to come back to Christ. It's not hard. Just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me for a faith meltdown. Renew me. Make me strong again. Somebody that's never known Christ can say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want that kind of faith in this day and time I live in. Somebody that's empty can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Friend, you can't come to the church today. The doors are locked. You know, one of the most heartbreaking things that have happened to me, on the very first Sunday we were closed, I preached the first service, and then I had to leave, and Pastor Brandon was preaching the second service. And I drove by, and there was about 15 people pulling on those doors out there trying to. I cried and I cried as I drove by that parking lot. I never thought I'd ever see Living Way with the doors locked. But we had to do it because of what the governor was saying and what our president was saying. And I don't really have much conspiracy theories. I don't think this is some kind of a deal to hurt the church. In fact, I think they've been pretty benevolent and kind to us, and we're going to open up again, and I pray for our governor, our president, our mayors, and all the people that are trying and working together to get this thing resolved. But that was a heartbreaking time. So you can't come to the church today. But friend, I want to tell you, the church is not a building. We simply meet in a building on occasion. The church is people. And right where you are, you can get out of your chair and kneel and say, Christ, come into my heart. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Heal my body. Break my bad connections. Take away my addictions. Lord, let faith come in my heart. Salvage me from shipwreck. Lord, let me get to the oasis of love in Jesus' name. Right where you are, you can be saved. You can be healed. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Pastor Brandon will be here again at 11 o'clock, which is just a little over an hour and a half or so from there right now. He will be here ministering.